Our scripture lesson today comes from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And it reads as thus. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the time or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." If I was to tag our time today with a title, it would be "Come, Holy Spirit, Come. We're waiting to exhale." We as the body in Christ the Church are presently worshiping in the liturgical season called Pentecost, 50 days after the resurrection. This Sunday represents Ascension Sunday, the 10 days between Jesus' ascension to his Father and the coming of the Holy Spirit. We are on the other side of Easter, remembering the promises of Jesus to his disciples, that we would receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, giving us the ability to witness for Christ. We don't talk too much about what this means to the church, the gifts we are promised by God through Christ Jesus in God the Holy Spirit. We usually don't spend much time, if any, on what this means to us individually. Most times when we speak of God the Holy Spirit, we speak in terms of the experiences of people getting happy in church, people experiencing with expressing with praise through tears, through shouts, laughter, singing, and even running around the church, Jerry. And yes, there are those who experience God the Holy Spirit inwardly and silently acknowledge, "God, the Holy Spirit is with me." Yes, these are times of gladness for deliverance and exhortation of the expressions of God's love towards us. Yes, these are times of relief of the burdens we are carrying and the encouragement to know God cares and help is on the way. Yes, this is good news to know that when we are overloaded, God, the Holy Spirit, manifests himself in ways that helps us the most. These are just a few ways that God, the Holy Spirit, overtakes us and makes his presence known in our life. God, the Holy Spirit, is so much more. We couldn't begin to talk about all that he is in just these few moments that we have today together. But I want us, if we could, to just focus on the power of God, the Holy Spirit, how he overtakes us and help us to live in faith in a world that is filled with pain, deception, brokenness, disappointment, chaos, and confusion. You see, Jesus was now spent 40 days with his disciples, giving them the last of his earthly teachings and encouragement. As Jesus was preparing to ascend back to his Father, he had one last thing to say, something he had mentioned before in the times they spent together, but knew at this moment they needed to hear it one more time. I would imagine thinking like the disciples now, just having a vision of what was going on. I would imagine they were sitting around listening intently, holding on to Jesus's every last word. At the same time, that familiar fear of dread and hopelessness was rising up in them again. They had lost him once to Herod, to the high courts of priests, and finally to Pilate, who sentenced him to death. It wasn't that long when this feeling of defeat and failure had overtaken them. And here it is coming again. Yes, Jesus resurrected from the dead as he said he would. Yes, Jesus came back to see about them as he said he would. Yes, he didn't just talk about forgiveness. He forgave them as he said he would. But now he's telling us, he's telling them that he's about to leave again. So they ask the question in that sixth verse, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Meaning, before you leave this time, will you make us, Israel, the most powerful nation again? Jesus quickly responded, it's not for you to know the time or the date that the Father has set for his own authority, but you will receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria to the ends of the earth. They had heard him speak of this power that they would receive, but where was it? They were still waiting. Yes, they knew what he said he meant, but they were still waiting. They knew that they could trust Jesus, but they were still waiting. Yes, they knew now he was really the Son of God, who had been crucified, buried, resurrected from the dead, as he said he would. But they were still waiting. They had heard all that he had said, but they were still who they always were. They were still the fishermen. They were still the tax collectors. They were still the zealots. They were before. They saw many things, but they didn't have any power within them. In fact, they felt powerless even now. After all, didn't they run when Jesus was crucified? Where was the power then? Now the master was leaving again, and they would have to deal with the powers of the day, the Roman government, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the temple guards. How can we do what he's asked us to do? He said, wait, for John baptized with water, but we will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Although this took place more than 2,000 years ago, today some of us are waiting for the power of the Holy Spirit to overtake us and fill us with power from the Spirit of the living God, that we too may be witnesses. For many, Pentecost has already come. The Spirit of the living God has already filled us with dunamis power from on high. You see, Pentecost has already come for some. The tongues of fire have already set many ablaze. You see, Pentecost has already come for some. And we have felt the mighty rushing winds of God's power in our lives. But today, we need a reminder that this was not the end of the story or the end of the promise. We were given power from on high to witness for Christ. We were given power to witness to others of the goodness of God. We were given power to be bold, to be steadfast, unmovable in the works of the Lord. Yet we walk around feeling impotent and powerless. Yet we live our lives in fears of others, of what they may do to us or say to us. Yet we live as though we are without power over and control over our lives and our situations. I read this story sometime. I saw this on TV some time ago. There was on this daytime show, they had a bodybuilder as a guest. As he entered the stage with his huge muscular body, the crowd went crazy as the bodybuilder began to flex his muscle and show his power. The first question asked of him was, What do you use all these muscles for? Without answering, the bodybuilder again stood up and began to flex his muscles while the crowd cheered wildly. A second time, the question was asked, what do you do with those muscles? Again, the bodybuilder flexed his muscles and the crowd became ecstatic. After asking three times, "What do you do with all those muscles?" The bodybuilder just sat in silence and had no answer. The man had power, but his power had no purpose other than to show off and bring attention to himself. We already have received the power, yet we don't use it. We have the power, yet we still are waiting for what has already been given. The disciples, they waited because they believed God for what was promised. We too must believe God for what was promised. Yes, they were nervous and anxious, but they waited for the power. The word says that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit come over them. The same promise is for you and for me. We recognize that there are some people who have not received the filling of the Holy Spirit. Some because they will not surrender to God, the Holy Spirit. Since he's a gentleman, he will not force himself on us or force us to take his power. Others because they don't want to change their lifestyle. They don't want to live a life of Christ. We want the benefits of the Spirit, but not the responsibility of the Spirit. Today, there are people waiting on God to show up in their life like a mighty rushing wind. Somebody is waiting for fiery tongues of healing because they've been sick a long time. You see, somebody is waiting on the mighty rushing winds of discernment because they need to make some decisions. Should I go left or should I go right? Somebody's waiting on that heavenly noise for peace and emotional healing because this thing is too much for them to handle. Somebody's waiting on the language of truth that they might speak truth to power. We are not powerless. We are powerful through Christ Jesus and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We are more than conquerors. We are mighty warriors pulling down strongholds. We are fierce, beautiful, and wonderfully made. Each, every last one of us should be standing on the promises of God so the mission he has given us would be fulfilled. Our purpose allows us to live, to prosper and enjoy life. But we get it twisted. We want the living and the prospering and the joy without the mission. There's no real joy. There's no real living. There's no real prospering without the missions of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are a powerful kingdom building people, but we refuse to pick up the saw, the hammer, or the nail. We want what we want without cost. We didn't have power to save ourselves. So Jesus came down through 30 and two generations to save us. All he asked us to do was to share the good news with someone who did not know him for the pardoning of his sins. All he asked us to do is tell somebody about a God that can save anybody. All he asked us to do was to tell somebody, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed on him shall not die but have everlasting life. The Father knew. Jesus knew, and the Holy Spirit knew. We needed special power. Power to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Oh, they knew the enemy would try to stop us. Satan tried to stop Jesus, the living God, so we know he's going to try to stop us. But Jesus left us with the promise of the filling of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit, empowers us to wait for God to bring healing, whether it's emotional or physical. He empowers us to move some hardened hearts so that reconciliation can take place. He has given us the gift of forgiveness through the Holy Spirit. God has empowered us. So today I say to us, come Holy Spirit. There's people here at Mount Olive who wants to exhale. Come Holy Spirit. There's people out on Central Avenue waiting to exhale. Come, Holy Spirit. There's people in our homes, in our families, on our jobs, in our gyms, in our schools, waiting to exhale. Many of you might remember a movie that came out in 1995 called Waiting to Exhale, directed by Forrest Whitaker. Forrest Whitaker, based on a novel written by Terry McMillan. The main characters were four women who were friends. These character actors were well known to us. Whitney Houston was Savannah. Angela Bassett was Bernadine. Loretta Devine was Gloria. And Layla Rochon was Robin. Most of you know the storyline. They were all in relationships that were not fulfilling. And each were behaving as though the man in their life had all the power and control to make their lives what they hoped it would be. They were waiting for their lives to be changed into something they desired through the relationships they were in. All of them were holding their breath until the day they felt comfortable in a committed relationship with a man. They were waiting to exhale. It wasn't until they came to themselves to recognize and realize that they had the power within them to be happy, with a man or without a man. The relationship of self had to be right before they could be happy with someone else. They were holding their breath until Mr. Right came along or did right by them. But in the meantime, life was passing them by. At some point, you have to come to yourself and realize we have power to be and do what God has called us to do. At some point, we have to come to realize that everybody's story is not going to be the same. But the power we need to live our story is within. At some point, we have to stop looking out the window at life and get up and go outside and live your life. We live powerless in the presence of an all-powerful God. Somebody in here is waiting and waiting and waiting. But if you don't get up soon and live your life, one day you're going to look back and life is going to be gone. There's another story. I read this one. It was about a man named Harry. He was telling some people about the first car that he ever owned. He was 16 years old, and his father took him to an auction, and he bought him a pink 57 Ford for $75. It was a 57 Ford that was pink, but his father insisted that the color was really coral. He said to his father, "I can't drive this pink car to school." To which his father replied, "Son, a poor ride is better than a proud walk." Harry said that his father said it so convincingly that he figured it was probably somewhere in the Bible. Then his dad opened up the hood, and to Harry's surprise, it had a 390 engine that had two four-barrel carburetors. Deacon Boyd, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because I don't know. The car had been a South Carolina Highway Patrol car. Therefore, that was the reason for the engine. It was often referred to as the police interceptor. There was no other engine that was more powerful than this one. Harry said that there were some very interesting things that would happen to him when he was in his car. When Corvettes and other high-end Roadsters would pull up beside his pink 57 Ford when he was at a red light, the drivers in the other car would look over at him mockingly, and Harry would just nod and then turn his attention back to the light. When the light changed, he would shock them by leaving them in the dust. You see, Harry's car didn't look like much, but it had power. You see, we may not look like much, but we got power. I don't know about you, but I know through the Holy Spirit, we got power. We take it for granted, waiting to exhale before we grab hold to the privilege that it provides. We overlook it, waiting to exhale because we're looking for a genie in a bottle. It doesn't give us lottery numbers. It doesn't make the one who we want to notice us to notice us. It doesn't hand you promotions you're dreaming of while you sitting there doing nothing. I know that there's nothing too hard for God. And when we pray in faith, He can deliver and he will deliver. Jesus did not say that power would be given for all things. He said power would be given that we might be witnesses for Christ. We discount the power because it wasn't given to us to lord over other people. The power was given to us not for prosperity, but for a purpose. I don't know about you, but I know that we have the power. We have the power to make devils flee when they try to destroy our families. We have power to make our enemies our footstool and bless us too. We have power to pray until healing comes. We got power to pray until situations change. Doors open, families reconcile, strongholds let go. The homeless get shelter, the hungry get fed. Fathers be fathers, mothers be mothers. Prisoners are released. There's justice and health care for everybody. We got power from on high. We're holding our breath, waiting to exhale. When the power of God has already been given to us. He said to young Timothy as he was about to pastor a church. And Timothy was acting a little timid. But he said to Timothy, for God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I don't know about you, but I'm going to stand on the power of the living God. We're holding our breath, waiting to exhale. And we have everything that we need to do what God has called us to do, to be who God has called us to be, to go back to school, open a business, pass the test, to live the abundant life that Jesus died that we might have. I know some of us been waiting a long time for some things. Every now and then I have to go back and check with God on some of these promises. I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I don't, because I do. Because every now and then you can get weary in your waiting. You can look for the promise and don't see it. You don't see nothing coming, but you know that God is still there. And when I go to God, he says to me in Isaiah, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. The heavens are higher than the earth. Therefore, my thoughts are higher than yours. I'm asking for the mediocre, and God wants to give me the great. I'm asking for less, and God is saying, I got more for you if you just wait. Whether you've been empowered by God the Holy Spirit already or yet waiting to be empowered, there is still sometimes some things we might have to wait on. But while we're waiting, stop holding your breath and exhale. I want everybody in here to just exhale right now. Say, whoo. Let's do it one more time for Jesus. Whoo. Now one more time for the Holy Spirit. Whoo. Stop holding your breath. The plan of God for each of us have already been written. I don't know if you caught it in the Bible, but I'm telling you, the plan was already written. Maybe I'm dating myself here a little bit. I'm not ashamed of my age, but maybe I'm dating myself a little bit. But I remember when I was a young girl, there was a singer named Doris Day. And she had this song with a chorus line that says, what will be, que sera, sera. You see, Doris Day wasn't singing about God's plan. But the chorus line is saying what the prophet Jeremiah told the people of God when they question their situation, when they question their exile and captivity, when they question their living in a foreign land of despair. God told Jeremiah, tell them, for I know the plan that I have for you, saith the Lord, a plan to prosper you and not harm you, a plan to give you a hope and a future. So people of God, while you're waiting on the physical manifestation of what God has already given you to possess, this is what I want to say to you today. First, you got to hold on to the promises of God. Remember, Jesus said to his disciples in that second part of that fourth verse, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gifts my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. Jesus was speaking of the Holy Spirit and how the indwelling of the Holy Spirit was going to change their life forever. The Spirit of the living God has the power to change our life from inside out. Jesus said to them, don't leave Jerusalem. Some of us are leaving Jerusalem too soon. We're leaving without a plan. We're leaving without the blessing. We're leaving without the power. They stayed and they waited. While they waited, they stood on one accord and they prayed. Don't leave until you have what you need to do what God has called you to do. God the Father has promised us power, not man's power, but his power for the plan and the purpose for our future. We're looking at man and not at God. That's the problem. We're looking at man and not at God. We want God to act on our time and not his time. Yet it's hard to wait sometimes. But we cannot leave until God gives us the power to be successful to complete the assignment that he's given us. The second thing we have to do is, while we're waiting, we got to take care of some business. While the disciples was waiting on the Holy Spirit, they were in the upper room by this time. And they were sitting around. They weren't just sitting there looking at one another. They was doing something meaningful. The scripture says that they were all in the upper room, all the disciples. And they joined together in constant prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus and his brothers. Realizing that Judas Iscariot had betrayed Jesus, was now dead. They decided to choose another to replace him and complete the group of 12. They waited on the promise of God and did what they could until the promise was fulfilled. While we're waiting for some change to take place, we can take change this time to take care of some business. We can study to show ourselves approved. We can get our houses in order. We can investigate some options, talk to some people, listen to some suggestions. We can get ready for the journey, for the mission, for the assignment. That third and final thing, as I get ready to take my seat, the thing that we need to do is take time to reflect. Think about what God has already done in your life. Think about the hills and the valleys he's already brought you through and over. Think about the miracles that you have already seen. Many of us, if we start thinking about the goodness of God and try to put words to it, we wouldn't be able to stop talking because God has done so much for us. Finally, knowing that waiting is the time of faith building. While we're waiting, we got to stop holding our breath and exhale. Let our faith in God be enough. Let our hope in God take us through. Let our belief in God sustain us, even though it looked like nothing is changing. You see, the power to change our life is already there. But we just stop breathing. But we got to learn how to exhale. No, change may not come in the way we expect it. And no, change may not even come through the person you're expecting it to come through. No, change may not come when you want it to come, but it's coming. Are you ready? Can you handle it? Are you ready? When God make the change in your life, do you have what it take to receive the change that you keep asking him for? Ask yourself that question. I ask God for this and for that, but when it comes, are you able to handle it? Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Someone is waiting to exhale today. As we prepare for our life-changing events, because there are going to be some life-changing events right here in this room. Some life-altering opportunity. Some opportunity going to come somebody's way. But I hope you're able to handle it. I hope you were doing your homework. I hope you were praying. I hope you were studying. I hope you was getting your house in order so that when the change came, you were able to handle it. As we wait for the power from on high to come to overtake us, let us get drunk off of spirits, but let us get drunk in the spirit of the Holy Spirit. I close with this last story. There was a man stumbling through the woods, totally drunk, when he came upon a preacher baptizing people in the river. He proceeded to walk into the water and bump into the preacher. The preacher turned around as though, although he was overcome by the smell of the alcohol, and asked the drunk, "Are you ready to find Jesus?" The drunk answered, "Yes, I am." So the preacher grabbed the drunk and dunked him into the water. Then he pulled him up and he said, "Brother, have you found Jesus?" The drunk replied, "No, I haven't found Jesus." The preacher looked at him, listened to him, although he was shocked in his answer, and he dunked him in again. And he held him down there a little while longer. So then the preacher said to him, "Did you find Jesus?" And the drunk says again, "No, I haven't found Jesus." By this time, the preacher, he was at his wit's end. So he submerged the drunk one more time. He held him down there for 30 seconds until he began to kick his arms and his legs. Whereupon he said, "I think I found Jesus this time." Don't you wait until you got to come kicking and screaming. Don't you wait until the situation is out of your hands. Don't you wait until you're under the water and can't get no air before you find Jesus. There's a spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. The spirit of the living God, who's able to do everything, who can do anything, who can empower you to do everything. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Somebody's waiting to exhale.